Thanks, Pastor Jeff.
Hello, hello. And good morning, church. Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of God, yes. God is good. Great, all the time. Only this service, man. I love it. You know, there's a buzz in the air in the church, right, this whole weekend. And if you were here before 11 o'clock in the morning, you would notice that there's a lot of staff. There's a lot of people talking in the lobby. There's a lot of excitement in the air because we have not done this for a very long time. But this weekend is our Cell Emphasis weekend. Hey, come on. We're excited about Cell, yes? You know why we're having this weekend, church? Cell Emphasis, because SIBKL is a... Yeah, that's good. SIBKL is a... Yeah, we really believe, you know, in cells. You know, we've done cells for so long, and I think we're going to continue doing cells until the Lord comes again. Because, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it really says, do not tire, do not stop meeting together, encouraging each other to spur on for this race, in the race of this life, all the way to Jesus Christ. So we're never going to stop meeting together. We're never going to stop meeting in small groups, because guess what? That is how the ex-church started. They all met in small groups in homes, and that's how the church grew. That's how people came to know Christ. That's how they communed and fellowship with one another. So we believe this is an entirely biblical principle, that there are cells in church. And if you're wondering here today, or maybe you don't belong to a cell just yet, and you're wondering what kind of cells do we have in SIBKL, we have all sorts, starting from... We have all sorts, starting from... It's a coming. Okay. And if you've never been in cell this week, or in church, we have all sorts, starting from... There we go. Hey, there we go. we have all ages, right? So our children ministry is so good, amen? Yeah, well, our children ministry is so good. So if you've got kids, you know, from age 0 to 12, come and bring them to children ministry. But we've got youths in the house. We've got campers in the house. We've got young adults in the house. And we've got young families in the house. Yeah, you know, in 2024, SIBKL, we're launching a new district entirely. And this new district is called Young Families, all right? So Young Family District is a district full of young parents with young kids. So there needs to be a whole cell dedicated to how do young parents bring up young kids in a post-pandemic world where everything is changing, and now with AI included. So because we're just launching it this year, this is the weekend where we're going to tell everybody. And if you're a young parent, you're more than welcome. Please come and join our Young Families District. So we've got many cells. These are our wonderful, wonderful, not so young adults anymore. They have been fruitful. They have multiplied. And now we have a whole new district called Young Families. So they meet all across. So it's not as rigorous as the young adult cells. It's not as frequent as the young adult cells. But I'm telling you, it's very power-packed and spiritually powered, just like every other cell here in SIBKL. Amen? And it's led... by none other, and in my opinion, you can differ from my opinion, of course, but in my opinion, the most beautiful, the most ravishing pastor in the entire world, my wife, Pastor Kim. You gotta stand and do a pose? No? Hey, don't leave me hanging. No? Okay, just me. Okay, but she passes it. So if you're a young parent in this house, come and speak to her, or come and speak to all our young parent leaders. And we would love to have you in ourselves, because trust me, it's really not easy parenting young children in this day and age. It's really not easy with a changing world, evolving world. And I think before kids are born nowadays, they already have an iPad in the womb. So how do we navigate that? Come to our Young Family cell and we will tell you how, okay? But more than that, just be part of community, because it takes a village to raise a kid, you know, and it takes a village for the kid to really just stay in the faith. We really want children to stay in the faith all the way from 0 to 100 years old, amen? All right? Okay, so that's a Young Families district. We're very proud of them, but not just the young families. We have our ladies district.
Hey, come on. We've got strong ladies in the house, man. Really strong ladies in the house. And the last service, I told a testimony from the ladies' district. It was really powerful. It was wonderful. So not just ladies. We have the not-so-young adults and not-so-young families anymore. The adults and the families, and it's the biggest part of the whole church. So we don't divide it in age. Yeah, we divide it in locations. So we got KL, you got PJ, you got SJ, you've got Puchong. Yes, that's right. Puchong, Kepong, TDDI, Ampang, wherever it may be, right? But let me tell you this. Okay, if you stay in an area that somehow we don't have a cell in and we don't cover, don't give up. Come and speak to us nonetheless. Okay, come and speak to the pastors, come and speak to the leaders and say, hey, I live in Bukit Jalil, for example. Okay, and maybe SIBKL, we only have one cell in Bukit Jalil and it's not your age group. That's okay. Come and speak to us. Come and tell us that, hey, I really want a cell in my area, because I tell you what, we're going to pray into it and the Lord is going to multiply and bring cells to you. Amen? We want you to be part of community, okay? So don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Come and speak to us nonetheless. Now, because we have strong ladies, we have valorful men. The men in this house are valorful, all right? They have a sword. It's a sword of the Spirit. So they're really, really incredible men, led by none other than Pastor Jeffrey. Where's Pastor Jeffrey? Where's he? Ah, there we go. Ladies are led by Pastor Li Chiu, none others. The strongest lady in the house. Yes? Yes. Just say yes. All right? And so our Men of Valor meets once on a Wednesday night a month and once on a Saturday morning a month. All right? So they're incredible. So they're very spiritual, very good people. And I hear that they're growing leaps and bounds. And all the men are so excited to be part of that community. So if your wife goes to ladies, automatically you are going to Men of Valor. Okay? By default, the fact that you're here in this service. Amen? Okay? But apart from Men of Valor, we've got great cells in this church, but none like our Golden Eagles. None like our Golden Eagles, all right? They're not bald eagles anymore. Who knows? The pastor Chiu is like, they're bald eagles. He can say, I cannot say. He say one, okay? They're not white eagles, small eagles, big silver eagles. They're the Golden Eagles, okay? So they are strong, they are amazing group of people, and one day, like it or not, all right, time favors no man or woman. We all will belong in Golden Eagles one day, okay? So I know that they are very exciting and they're bustling and they visit and eat all kind of things, and they're very, but it's for retirees, okay? Retirees. So if you're not yet retired, you belong to everything above. Is that okay? All right, hallelujah. Now, for where are the booths? So if you know you want to look for a cell, you want to talk to us, you need to know where the booths are. So everything on my left, which is your right, the booths are right outside. So you just exit the sanctuary later, come and speak to us. Those are the booths. But for everything on my right, which is your left, the booth is one floor down. So all next gen, all ladies in the house, don't go off, come and walk one floor down and enjoy whatever bakwa that you're going to get, whatever pineapple tarts that you're going to get, and find out more about ourselves. More specifically, young parents in the house, I know that when the time has come, when the time of the Lord has come, we have to go pick our children at level 3, right? So whilst you are walking down to level 3, stop at level 4. And come and leave your name at the young family's booth, and we will call you. And then you can go and pick your kids at level 3. Is that okay, young parents? We wanna connect with you, and we would love for you to be in our cells. You know, I started off my pastoral journey in this church as an integration pastor. And one of my main roles is to call visitors, connect with them. And I believe some of you still remind me of the days where I call you and text you and everything and email you. Thank you so much for being in this church. The fact that you responded, you know, I'm appreciative at least, right? And when I was an integration pastor, and one of my main roles is to integrate people into cells, I always get this question from visitors. And I love this question because it's an opportunity for me to preach a mini sermon, right? And the question is, Pastor, why in SIBKL do you call it cells? Because, you know, it's 2020 or 2019, right? In the whole world, why don't you call it something more flattering? Call it life groups, so that when you go to a life group, you've got life. Or why do you call it connect groups, so that when you go to connect groups, you're not lonely because you can connect. Or you call it small groups, because maybe this is a large church and you can't find friends, so you go to a small group so you can find friends. There's so many nomenclatures that churches use. Why does SIPKL call it cells? Because every time we say come to cells, it reminds them of this. And the pastor, so bad lot of connotation. You want to imprison us? And I always say, well, praise the Lord, you're thinking of this, because it could have been worse. It could have been this. You know, who knows? It still could have been this, right? It could have been like a dingy dungeon cell thing for you. But it's always a good opportunity. So now it's no longer my responsibility to answer the question. I now give the responsibility to all of you. So if anyone ever asks, and they say it's all this, say, no, it's not all this. You got it all wrong. We call it cells because actually it is this. We meant this. It's the basic building block of every organism on earth. If the fact that you're living and you're breathing means you must comprise of cells. And every cell, every small cell has a nucleus. And that nucleus is like the cell leaders. It's like the core leaders of the cell. So God bless you if you're leading a small group. But that's cells. And the beauty part of the cells is that when cells gather together, they form an organ, right? So we are part. So the fact that we say it's cells is that we are part of we are part of something bigger than ourselves. We are not a solo Christian. You know, we're not a lonely Christian, but we are part of a bigger community that really represents the body of Christ. Now, we believe in the body of Christ. So come to our DNA this afternoon, the DNA Plus, where we talk about the body of Christ, but none other than our Pastor Li Chiu. And she gives a great exposition about what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. And there's two ways to look at it. The one way to look at it is SIPKL is the body of Christ, where who is the head of the body? Christ, okay? That's why it's called the body of Christ, okay? So Christ is our head. He's our leader, commander-in-chief, our general. He's our director, our whatever it is, all right? He is the head. Now, SIPKL comprises of many organs. So the organs could be zones. We've got adult zones. We've got youth zones. We've got campus YA zones. And all these zones form the heart, the hands, the fingernails, the neck. And it all forms a great big body of Christ that is SIPKL. And you belong to this church. Amen? Proud of this church? Yeah. Or we can also see it as maybe the body of Christ is a larger body where Christ is the head of all the churches in the world. He is the head. And maybe SIPKL is, we're just a fingernail. And maybe the church next door is the other fingernail. And maybe the church next door is the pinky finger and a heart or a lung or a neck. And all the churches of the world, all the organs of the world form a collective body of Christ, that Christ Jesus is still our head. That's why we believe in cells. It's not just pastoral care. You come to cells to be spiritually fed. You come to cells to connect with one another. You come to cells also, yes, you need somebody to complain and vent your week to. We will pray for you still, all right? You come to cells to do so many things, to makan, and that's fine. But we come to cells to be aligned as well. We come to cells to be aligned with what God has in store for SIPKL. And SIPKL is a church with a very unique call. So when you come to SIPKL, you know that you are aligned to the direction of Sabah, Semenanjung, and Sarawak. And we're going to sow into the native church, and we're going to pray that they're going to grow, and that's part of our DNA, that's part of who we are. Find out a lot more, because when you're in cells, you're also plugged into our Bible reading plan. How's it going, guys? Great. Yeah, hallelujah. This side, great. How's it going, guys? Good. Hallelujah. How's it going, guys? All right. Hallelujah. So, you know, it's difficult to read your Bible by yourself. Don't worry. Even I find it difficult to read the Bible by myself. But in the young adults, every Sunday, somebody in the cell, somebody in the zone, somebody in the pastoral group will always share their Bible reading plan, and to remind everybody to read your Bibles, all right? So we need community, amen? Amen. So be a part of ourselves. But right now, I want to invite, because you're not just going to hear it from me, I want to invite someone very special, so please support him, because they have a story to tell about how cells have impacted their lives. So put your hand together for Cheng Ho and family. Hello, Cheng Ho and Debbie, that's correct? Yeah, come.
Okay, My name is Cheng Ho, and this is my wife, Debbie.
Hi.
We are from the new. We are from the new covenant cell. Our cell leaders are Chow Ka Siong and his wife Wingay. We are under Pastor Twen's district. Hey. So my family and I, we lived in Oman for 7 years. And when we came back from Oman in August 2022, we were looking for a church. And after looking, we finally settled in SIBKL. It's a big church, as you know, and we only know very few people. So we decided to attend a cell, and we were very happy when we found one just within walking distance from our house in USJ. Really, praise God. We found it out through the Connect team, Doreen and Eric.
Hey.
So we attended very first time the cell in January 2023. After that, I suffered.
Sorry. It's okay. It's all right, Cheng. Take your time.
I suffered a massive heart attack. My wife informed many people, including the cell group, to pray. Although we were so new to the group, our cell leader, Ka Siong, and zone leader, Sing Chai, and Pastor Twen visited me in the CCU ward in the hospital, and the cell continued to pray for us. Pastor Chu himself, through the Connect team, also visited me in the hospital. We were very encouraged because we were so new to this big church and didn't expect this attention. After attending one cell meeting, already got privileges. Well, we praise God that I managed to have a successful bypass at IJN only 3 weeks after the heart attack. After hearing that the waiting period could be quite long, I had my surgery on my birthday. After I was discharged, the whole cell also visited me, including Zone and District Pastor, Pastor Twen and Sing Chai and their wives. The ladies also took my wife out for coffee because she needs a break also from taking care of me. After about 3 months of resting, we got a nudge from Wingay to say, hey, I think it's time to start attending cell again. I thought that was very good because sometimes we can get complacent and lazy to attend cell. So that was very good. Once I didn't feel too good and I had to go to the emergency at the hospital, and Ka Siong, myself, leader, drove me there and stayed with me throughout the whole time in the emergency room. We want to thank God and our cell and SIBKL for their constant support throughout this recovery period. Cell is important. If you don't have a cell yet, I hope this encourages you to belong to a cell. It has impacted our lives, and I know it will impact yours as well. Thank you.
Amen. Don't go yet. Can we pray for you? Can we stretch our hands and pray for them? Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful family. I just want to thank you for Cheng Ho and Debbie, and I want to thank you that you bless them, that you continue to recover and strengthen his body and strengthen them, not just physically, but also strengthen them in the Lord, God. So I thank you that they are going to be a blessing, and I'm sure they have been a blessing to so many people, and you will continue to use their lives to advance and to make known the kingdom of our God, our great big God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Cheng Ho. Thank you, Debbie. Amen. Wow. I could not have said anything better about myself, but I just want to encourage all of you. It is in the cells that you will get pastoral care. You will get care. You will get loved. We are there for one another. But it's also in the cells where you learn what it means to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Christ. Amen? So yes, one last thing about cells. So when I talk about the body of Christ and all that thing, I will always end with this. I will always say to the person who asks, I always say, I know that the word cells may connotate a prison cell, but to me, there's nothing wrong with that because I carry with me a scripture in my heart, and I pray after today, you will too. And this scripture is Ephesians 3:1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. You see, it's interesting that Paul calls himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's a willing prisoner of Jesus Christ. Jesus never forced him to be. Jesus never caught him because, like it or not, all of us here, by the letter of the law, all of us, by the letter of the law, we have fallen short. Technically speaking, we're all criminals. And by right, we should all be placed in prison because we're all criminals, because the wages of sin is death. But praise be to the Lord God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who broke the chains of death, who broke the chains that holds your life. And now because we are free and we have freedom in Christ, we look to Him and says, I am now a willing prisoner. I will myself to be bound to a good master, a master who frees us, a master who fights for us, a master who loves us, a master and a good shepherd that will lay His life down for us. And that is why I, Isaac Ling, am a proud prisoner of Jesus Christ. So if cells in this church means that we are in prison, so be it, because I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And you are a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So as I BKL, we are a cell church, and we really believe in it. And I pray after today, go and find out all the cells in SIBKL, and I pray that you will find one that you can, they will bless you. But more than them blessing you, one day, you will be a blessing to many, many more people out there. Amen? Amen. Today, I bring you a shorter version of my sermon because this is Cell Emphasis Weekend. But I name my title. I always hear from the Lord when I wake up in the morning or I sleep at night or in the middle of the night one. I don't know why. Maybe it's the quietness and the stillness of the night. But when I was reading this passage of Scripture, the Lord said, in order for us to get a breakthrough, there must always be a hunger. It starts with a want from us. A want from us to draw close to God, to abide in God. So my title today is, Do You Want? That is the most important part of my title. Do you want? What do you want? Do you want to find strength in the Lord? Or do you want something else? The choice is not up to God. The choice is also not up to me. The choice is up to all of us individually. And I draw from the last portion of the book of 1 Samuel. So today, because I'm covering 5 chapters, because this is the last portion of the book of 1 Samuel, I encourage you, please go home after today, lunch, after your lunch, or even better still, before your lunch, when you're sitting, it says, guys, we're going to eat. Before we eat, let's read 1 Samuel chapter 27. And then pray for the food and then eat, all right? But you need to understand the richness and the depth. And I keep telling my wife, I have so much to say. I don't know how to end on time because the richness and the depth that God has downloaded into my heart about these 5 chapters is amazing. But this is the summary of the 5 chapters, okay? It's a tale of 2 men. I only just this year found out that the end of the book of 1 Samuel is the tale of 2 men. There was only 2 main characters in this story. There is David, then there is King Saul. So in 2 weeks' time, we're going to start the book on 2 Samuel, where David becomes king. So 1 Samuel, David is on the way to become king. It's his journey and his lessons to become king. But this is a tale of 2 men. And in this later stage of the book of 1 Samuel, both men are going through a very difficult time in their lives. I don't know whether you are going through a very difficult time of your life, but I'm sure at some point in the past, maybe now or maybe in the future, all of us here will go through a very difficult time or a season in our lives. And that's the season of David and King Saul in these books. So I'm just going to sum it up real quickly for you. Is that okay? The similarities between the two characters is this. The Philistines are now so bold to attack Israel. We started this book with the Philistines attacking Israel with via the champion called Goliath. Then David, the representative of Israel, defeated Goliath. And from then on, Israel has been going on the offensive, attacking the Philistines, attacking the Amalekites, and pushing them back. But this is such a low season of not just the spiritual life of David and King Saul, but it's also a low season of the spirituality of Israel as a whole, that the Philistines has the boldness now to come and attack Israel. How, if you really see the whole book, it's beautiful. It starts with the Philistines attacking and it ends with the Philistines attacking. But this time when the Philistines attacks Israel, David was on the run from Saul. So if you remember for the past few weeks, we've been talking about how Saul wanted to kill David. So David was on the run from Saul and David ran into the territory of the Philistines. So he allied with the Philistine. How low can you get as the future king of Israel that the Philistine is supposed to be your enemy, but now you are allying with your enemy because you're trying to run from Saul? David is on the run. King Saul is also on the run. King Saul was on the run from the Philistines. So both men were on the run for very different reasons. When they were on the run, the Philistines are attacking Saul, but the Amalekites is attacking David. Both were under attack as well. When they're both under attack, both did the same thing. Both inquired of the Lord. Saul inquired, David inquired. But we all know the ending of 1 Samuel. The Lord answered David and did not answer Saul. And we end the book with a difference. With all the similarities, we end in chapter 30-31 with a difference. David was victorious, so Saul was defeated. So today, I want us all to draw. We're looking at, I don't know how many years you have, all of us have in store, but at the end of the day, I'm a kind of guy that when I start something, I always start with the end in mind. And I always ask God, what kind of man do I want to be at the end of my life? Whenever the end is for me, what kind of man do I want to be remembered for? What kind of man do I want to be, not just for my wife, not just for my kids, but also for my extended family, for the church, for my friends, whoever it may be? What kind of man do I want to be remembered for? And when we go through difficult seasons, there is a breakthrough that keeps us from becoming a Saul to make sure that we are all David. Amen? And I start off with Saul. And I start off this way. When Saul was under the attack from the Philistines, this verse plays, 1 Samuel chapter 28. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. The Lord did not answer Saul. So I want to ask, I want to give you some time to think about it. Why did God not answer Saul? This is the king of Israel, mind you. This is a king who have inquired of the Lord before and the Lord spoke to him. This is the same God that says, if you search for me, I will show you unsearchable things. I will never leave nor forsake you. I am your good shepherd. I will always be there for you. So now the question is, why didn't God answer Saul? Could it be that God plays favorites? He chose Jacob, not Esau. Maybe he chose David, not Saul. But that can't be true, because we know God does not play favorites. And the answer is this. It's in one word, five syllables. Disobedience. And it's a good reflection on our lives. Because sometimes, we forget that following Jesus is all about obedience. Sometimes we forget loving Jesus is all about obedience. Because in John it says, God says, if you love me, you will obey me. We forget. Because sometimes we forget, love is not just a feeling. Love is not just, okay, God, I love you, and thank you for loving me, and then we go on our merry little way. Love is displayed through the act of obedience. Which is why sometimes when, you know, if you are a parent in this house, if you are a parent, when your children don't obey you, it hurts. And sometimes you got to ask yourself, why does it hurt? Is it because you're disrespected? Is it because you're dishonored? Is it because whatever the reason is? Because deep down, why we are hurt when somebody don't obey us is because we feel unloved. Because the root of the action of love is obedience. And Saul was disobedient. And now this is a stark warning, but don't worry. Later on, there's an encouragement coming, but this is a warning to the church. Church, don't take God for granted. Just because you inquired of the Lord, who do you think God is? He sits there, you know, he acts like a fortune teller. You know, you come and talk to me, you inquire, here's the answer. And sometimes we act that way, right? God, I've asked you, you are supposed to answer me as if we hold God ransom. As if God is obligated to answer us. As if God doesn't answer us, we will wring our fists to heaven and we blame God and God is a lesser God because of it. No. We need to treat God with that reverence and that honor and that obedience because it starts with a very small disobedience in Saul's life. Then it moved to a bigger disobedience and a bigger disobedience and the biggest disobedience of it all. See, in chapter 11, Saul was going to fight, but God said, wait before the fight. Samuel will give an offering before him before you fight. But Saul was an impatient man. He couldn't take it. He couldn't wait for Samuel. So he did it himself. And when Samuel came and Samuel said, what are you doing? It starts with a very small disobedient with giving a wrong type of offering. That's a small disobedient. Then it moves to something bigger. Now, instead of impatient, we get a very insecure Saul. When David slayed his 10,000s, Saul slayed his thousands. Now, an insecure Saul says, I'm going to now kill this anointed man of God. By the way, his own general. He wants to kill. I'm sure God never endorsed that. From one disobedience to another disobedience, and the biggest of them all, the Lord says, I want you to kill the Amalekites off completely, Saul. And did Saul obey? No. Saul said, no, I kept something for myself because I wanted to offer it to the Lord. Excuses, justification, because he believed one disobedience, he got away with it. The next disobedience, he got away with it. Now he wants to disobey more. And in that disobedience, the third time round, God said, Saul has rejected me as his God. Therefore, God has rejected Saul. That is the root of why God did not answer Saul. Because Saul has rejected him, he will reject Saul. Don't misunderstand this. The cross is available for all of us. Jesus has paid it all, but it still requires our obedience to walk in faithfulness and in following Jesus Christ. Because one disobedience can lead to another disobedience, and sooner or later we are a prisoner of disobedience and we wonder, why isn't things working out in my life? Because Saul was wondering too. And after that, Saul did the most heinous of crimes, in my opinion. Go read it. Samuel chapter, I think it's 12 or 13. Saul killed 70 priests of Israel just because the high priest gave David the sword of Goliath. He killed them all. That is the impatience and the insecurity and the disobedience of one man that has led to this point in his life where he was desperate for an answer. How many of us are desperate for an answer? How many of us are saying, Lord, my life is not easy right now. I'm under attack by all directions, whatever it may be, okay? By the way, when your wife asks you to throw out the rubbish, that is not considered spiritual attack. Okay? That is not a prayer of spiritual attack. That is a prayer of husbandly obligation. Did I say that right, babe? Did I say that right? Okay, good, good. Hallelujah. Brownie points. Right? So, when we are spiritual attack, I don't know, but in our work, our family, whatever it may be, and we are now desperate. We are desperate for an answer. When Saul was desperate and he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord and the heavens were silent, "Isn't it sad? The heavens were silent. What did Saul do?" Saul said, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. There is one in Endor," they said. Or for the Star Wars fans, "There's one in the far moon of Endor, where the Ewoks live." Okay, the original Star Wars? No? Just me? Fan? Okay, okay. All right. There is one, it's different Endor, by the way, okay? I bet this is where George Lucas got his inspiration for the word Endor, okay? You know how sad this situation is? The Israelites was encamped in Gilboa, which is here. The Philistines was in Shunem, which is here. Do you know where Endor is? Endor is here, which means that Saul was so desperate that in the middle of the night, he cloaked himself and he rode past the territory of the enemies, which he could have been killed, in order to land in Endor so that he could consult a medium so that he could know his future and his fate. Now, before we throw stones at Saul, before we say, "Saul, you're evil. Saul, you are XYZ," before we earmark Saul, whatever Saul is, I want to take a good look at our lives. Have we ever been desperate? Desperate for an answer? Have we ever been pushed to an edge where anything goes, where whenever, whoever and whenever I can get an answer, I will get that answer because I am desperate? You know, many years ago, I was talking to a couple, and this couple, they had a very sick child. And don't worry, this couple's fine. This couple's amazing people. But at that point, they have been wrestling with a child who's sick for 2 years. So the initial, we prayed for them, we interceded for them, nothing. Okay? We have gone to consultations, they've gone to the best doctors, they've gone to the best doctors in Malaysia, they've gone to the best doctors in Singapore, and there's another country. The consultation comes up, there's nothing we can do. They are desperate. And there was one fine day, they hang out with friends, and their friends just nudge them as Christian. "Hey, since church cannot give you an answer, since the doctors also cannot give you an answer, why don't you just go to this lady that I know in this house? This lady can read things, whatever it may be, right? This lady can read things. Go and ask. What's the harm in asking? If the lady says nothing can be done, no difference to your life, bar. If the lady says something can be done, good for you. Something can be done. Then you've got hope." Desperation leads to desperate measures. Now, I praise God. The couple came to see me. And they ask, "What should I do? Should we see?" And of course, as a good pastor, I would say, "What's happening? What has led you to this desperate state that you have to go and ask an occultic medium to tell your future when we've got a great big God?" But then in that moment, I realized that desperate people will do desperate things for desperate results because we don't know it all. So before we throw stones at Saul, let's take a look at our lives, because in this day and age, it's so easy for the occultic to come into the church, don't you think? And I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm not here to scold anybody. I just want us to be aware that in the life of social media, you know, when you just scroll, and then suddenly there'll be, if you mix this scent with this scent, you will bring the good spirits into your house. Spirits with a small s, okay? If you mix this scent and this scent, it will scare away the evil spirits. If you don't know what I'm talking about, hallelujah, holy people, very good, okay? But if you know, stay away from it because it's so easy. And nowadays, days, even app games will install in it lucky jackpot draw, which are actually tarot cards, right? Have you seen it? If you haven't seen it, good and holy church. But if you have seen it, warn people, stay away from it, because now they're putting it in games, they're putting it in reels, they're putting it all online. And if it's not all that, sometimes we just want, right? We walk by a Pasar Malam and then let's read, and you're so tempted to read because maybe you're desperate. And I want to warn us all, it dishonors God, it disrespects God, it puts the occultic above who God is. And most of all, it showed us the content of our hearts. Who is our one true God? This whole scenario reveals the content of Saul's heart, that he has to seek an occultic, to ask the occultic, "Am I going to win a war against the enemy?" Oh my word, what have we come to? you see, in King Saul's life, his breakdown moved him from depression to his destruction. And this is just a careful warning to the church. Be careful, church. Be on guard. Make sure you have people around you that can give you good advice, because any one of us can fall in that 2 minutes of weakness. Don't think we're high and mighty, that we cannot fall. All of us can be tempted and fall in the 2 minutes of weakness, and it requires a cell group of friends to advise us to do the right thing when we are in the wrong timing. You see, I wish when Saul asked his attendants, his bodyguard, his closest advisors, find me a witch, I wish they would have said, excuse me, King of Israel, never will we bow our knee to a witch of Endor. But they didn't, because Saul does not know how to pick a right community that surrounds him. So the cry of our hearts is to find that community, to find right people that would journey with you, that when you're going through medical problems, they will pray for you. How amazing are our leaders? By the way, I truly believe. And by the way, if you're watching from another church, I'm sure you've got the best leaders that God has sent you. You've got the best leaders that God has sent you, okay? But in this church, we also have the best leaders that God has sent us. So I thank you, leaders. I thank you, Cors. I thank you, pastors, for just caring for the people. Because that is what following Jesus is all about. Amen? Saul's breakdown. And if you're in a season of problems or difficulties, make sure that your depression do not lead you to destruction. And on the contrary, there's now King David. King David has been attacked by Amalekites. The Amalekites took his women, his children, his possession, his cattle, his everything was gone. Now back, just imagine back in those days, you are coming back to your home city, right? By the way, there was no cars, there was no aeroplane, there was no whatever it is. You're coming back either by walking or by horseback or by camelback. You're coming back and now you're seeing your village from afar. You're seeing that village from afar, but you're seeing smoke. It is not a campfire smoke. Your wife is not cooking stew for you because it is black smoke. And it's the whole village. Now, when you're walking, now David and his 600 men, most likely their hearts are beating fast. Most likely they're tired, but now they're running. They're sprinting to their village. Most likely they know something bad has happened. And when they reach Ziklag, they realize everything has been taken away from them. And then we reach verse 6. It says, David was greatly distressed. But very interestingly, David was not distressed because the village was burnt. David was distressed because the men were talking of stoning him, each one bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. These were his closest friends. These were his confidants. These were the people that he trusted to fight alongside him. Now, these were the same men who wanted to stone David. And David was in great distress. But now, the difference is now David, instead of fighting, David, instead of complaining, David, instead of wringing his hands towards the heaven, I believe this is the pivotal verse of the whole 1 Samuel. More important than David killing Goliath, more important than being anointed by Samuel, because in the lowest period of your life, when God is bringing tests, God is testing you, trialing you, what you do will determine who you become. And David chose to find strength in the Lord. It's a choice. David chose to do it. He could have done so many things. He could have said to the 600 men, I'm a better warrior than any one of you. I've been anointed by the Lord God Almighty. I know I'm going to be the next king. So you can throw stones at me all you want, but I'm going to win because I'm already going to be king. But he could have said that. He could have fought. But no. He chose to find strength in the Lord. And the word strength here is encouraged. So another translation is David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes more men than women, because I only recently found out that women, when they call their sisters or call their best friends or call their lady best friends, it's more often to talk about the day, right? To unload about their day and to maybe rant or make complain or I don't know what you do, okay? All right, I'm sure it's sanctified in the Lord, okay? But more men don't do it. Men just keep to themselves, right? We men, we don't, How many of, okay, if you have a brother to call and complain about your day, good for you, but that is not the general man out there, all right? We men, we just like to man cave ourselves, be by ourselves, and don't tell anybody because we're men, you know, we can handle it all by ourselves. Look at me, right? Because that's just who we are and how we're built. But I really love it. In front of all his men, David chose to humble himself in the Lord. He chose. It's a choice. Do you know that when he's finding strength and to encourage, there's another word. David held on. He bounded himself to the Lord, which means that there is a picture. I can imagine David just worshiping before the Lord in front of all his men. He doesn't know what to do. I'm lost. There is no solution in this physical world. He chose to just worship, to honor God, and he chose to hold on to the promises of God. God, you promised that the kingdom is mine. You promised this is my future. You promised me that you will look after me. You promised, but God, what is happening? I don't know why, but all I know is I'm going to encourage my spirit in you. I will not give in to the spirit of depression. I will not give in to the spirit of discouragement. I will not give in to the spirit of distress, but Lord Jesus, I am going to hold on to the promises that you have given me. That is King David. He chose to hold on to what God has in store for him. He worshiped. How many of us here, we're going through a difficult time, we worship, we honor. You know, personal story. My wife and I were going through a decision that we have to make for our kids. One day we will tell you what it is, but the story is not finished yet. But don't worry, it's not life-threatening. So we've sought medical consultations, a few of them, repeatedly, and we have come to a conclusion that the doctors have advised us that we need, as parents, need to now make a decision. Nobody else can make the decision for our son except us. So we have to make a decision. One day I'll tell you the story because it's not over yet. But for the sake of this sermon, now because we're both very cerebral, right? Well, at least I believe so. Obviously, for the both of us, it'd be so easy. What's the pros and cons? If we do, we don't. You know, what happens in 1 year? What happens in 2 years? Which is the best one? What do we do? You know, who should we consult? What should we do? What's the best practice? What's the not best practice? Let's call this person. There's all the whole list. There's a whole Excel sheet. I can give you a presentation on what should we do. And it was just in that moment where we just realized that actually on earth, nobody knows. There's no guarantee that it's 100%. In this life, let me tell you, what is a guarantee in your life? Are you guaranteed to never fall sick? You're guaranteed to always have a job? You're guaranteed that your sons will love you forever? Guarantee. There's no guarantee in life. And it was in that moment we realized that the only thing we can do is to inquire of the Lord, the one who knows it all, the one who has the future in his hands, the one who knows the future of my son, the one who knows what's going to happen, the one who holds the universe in the palm of his hands. He knows it all. And we can consult the best of men, but it's still men at best. I could pray and pray and pray, but the best thing for us is to inquire of the Lord. So this week, if you go to the booth, I'm not eating anything because I'm fasting and praying. It's because of this. And we realize in that moment, and maybe it's God preparing my heart for this sermon, that when we are desperate for an answer, we are desperate. Don't give up in the one who knows it all. Only Him. Only Jesus have it all. Only Jesus know it all. Only Jesus will be there for you because He loves you. He has a future for you. He has a plan for you. And I know, I am so confident, even though I don't know what I'm going to do, but I tell you what I know that my life of my son is in the hands of the Almighty. And whatever I do, I can never rob him from the hands of the Lord our God. That is what I know. Find your strength in the Lord. And when David inquired, the Lord said, go and recover all. And David recovered all. I love that phrase because we as humans, we love that portion. God, I want to recover all. all that I've lost. We love that portion, but we always forget the beginning. That David, when he's in distress, he ran to the altar and he worshipped. When David does not know what to do, he ran to the altar and he says, God, give me strength. When David was lost and he was also weeping for his wife and his possessions, he ran to the altar and says, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. You see, David's breakthrough, he moved David from stagnation to transformation. And there is born the legacy of King David. King David, who was a champion for his generation and the generations to come. The man whose lineage birthed Jesus Christ, because he encouraged himself in the Lord and he did not seek the things of this world. He was transformed. What's the difference between the two men? David recovered everything. Saul lost everything. Now, this is the saddest part of Israel history. One of the saddest parts. Because no matter what we think of Saul, no matter what we think of him, he's still a king. He was still God's chosen, the first one that God chose, by the way. He was still a king. But at the end of his life, he had to be beheaded by the enemy. His armor was taken to be displayed in the temple of the Ashtoreth, the temple of the Philistines, to be mocked. His body was hung in the village of Bethshan so that all of Israel would know that they are defeated by a Philistine. They are defeated by a Philistine god. What a shame came upon the house of Saul. But worst, and this is the question I'm asking God, and I want you to discuss it in yourselves. Why did his three sons have to die? For the sins of the father? Why did Jonathan have to die? What a good man. Read Jonathan, what a good man. Why did he have to die? Ask God. Oh, what a sad life. The tale of two men. You know what I realize? That both men were prisoners. Saul, he was a prisoner of his impatience, insecurity. He was a prisoner of wanting to know the future, of fortune-telling. He was a prisoner of the occult. He was a prisoner of... Oh, he was just a prisoner. He died a sad prisoner, shackled by sin, shackled by disobedience, shackled by rebellion. But David was also a prisoner. But he was a free prisoner, a willing prisoner of Jesus Christ. He lived his life in freedom. He lived his life in victory. He lived his life in love and peace. And he is such a generous king that he can be a blessing to so many people. That is the difference between two men. So don't kid yourself, church. We are all prisoners in this life. It's either we are the prisoner of Christ, or what are you a prisoner of? Because it's so easy that every decision we make, we are a prisoner of money. Right? Every decision is money, 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 money. Everything is all money, money, money. Before long, we're a prisoner of money. But instead of material things, we could be a prisoner of glamour. We want the status. We want the position. We want the power. You could be a prisoner of power and status. You could be a prisoner of disobedience as well. But we, SIBKL, we choose to be a prisoner of Christ. We choose to be freed from the shackles of sin and death and choose to be a prisoner of Christ. So today, I want to end this place with a worship, with an honoring of God. That no matter how ridiculous I look up here, worshiping by myself and praying in tongues, it doesn't matter to me because I don't worship you. I'm not worshiping for your sake to look good for you. I'm worshiping my Lord God Almighty. And that's the posture of David. When he danced before the Lord, he danced with all his might. Whatever he had, he gave it to the Lord. That's the David that we know. And I pray that if you're going through a difficult time, number one, find friends and community that can journey with you. But more importantly, strengthen yourself in God. And I pray that you will find strength before you leave this place today. Hallelujah.